Welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I am once again joined by my co-hosts Nick Answeeney and Randy Vasquez, who are both fine. But there's been lots of talk.
I tried to steamroll. What up? I want to hijack this podcast for about 32 minutes. What's good? What's
32
good?
32 whole minutes? Thank you, Randy. It's been hijacked.
And let's just get it out of the way. I'm going to get it all out of the way since everyone always tweets me, yes, this is Donald Trump. And there's just so many giggles. And everything else that everyone always constantly, Randy, do this, Randy, do that. And I get these endless tweets. There, it's done. You're terrible. It's garbage. It's just so many impressions. And we're done. Okay,
for the record, back to Randy has not had his coffee yet. He is waiting on his coffee, and we're all really worried when he gets his coffee this morning. It's going to be even worse than that.
Oh, it's all over for you. It's all over for you, normal humans.
He was so tired right before we started rolling.
I think he was saving
it. But anyway, you've been acquitted now. Moving on. With foldable technology coming up, I know we don't talk much about foldables on the podcast because I think all of us have expressed universal doubts in that department. And but I have a bigger topic I want to get to, but I haven't really talked to you guys directly about the Galaxy Z Flip, which I did a video on. Did you guys see that leaked video?
I did see that leaked video.
Yes, I did.
And
how do you feel about this approach of a foldable compared to what Samsung did with the Galaxy Fold? Let's start with Nick. Sorry, you cut me off.
he looked like he was trying to compose himself from laughing.
Yeah, that's fine.
I was.
He looks
so
composed.
The Razr, right? Or what? Moto Razr?
Yes. The Moto Razr came out.
Called?
And people
the
have those
video
now.
That I'm seeing is of the Razr, though, right?
No, that's the Z Flip. This is a different clamshell foldable, but it's 100% happening.
Get easy names.
What day is it? What day is the 11th? Tuesday. Okay, it's coming out tomorrow. Tuesday. If this is this podcast being published on the 10th, then we'll get the Z Flip tomorrow. So I thought this would be somewhat relevant. But given we know pretty much everything about it, we know what it looks like. We've seen leaked photos. Do you think that the clamshell foldable is better or worse than the Galaxy Fold?
I think it's the best version of a foldable we can get right now. I think it's the most efficient design. Taking it from hot dog to hamburger instead of hamburger to hot dog is the most efficient.
You mean taco?
Taco, yeah, okay, sure. I guess that works too. But yeah, I'm taking it from taco to hamburger.
Okay.
I feel like it's efficient, but yeah, I think it looks weird and it clicks, which is never a good thing. Mm. And I don't think that anyone.
You saw that video of the sound the Razr made?
Yeah. I don't want it, but I think out of all the foldables, it's the better functional design, I guess. I don't know. I didn't like the Fold or the other one that bent around on the outside. That's all pretty useless, taking like a square, because no one wants a square tablet, and no one wants a phone that looks like a TV remote. Like, those are both bad designs.
Right.
If you
it's
take
not
a normal,
even a jack
like, two
of all trades.
One,
it's like a amateur of all trades.
Worse than that at all trades.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you take a phone that is about the current, it's a little bit taller, you know, than the 2x1 or whatever, but about those same dimensions.
Sure.
And then you fold that down to like a little square. I feel like that's a little bit better design approach. But okay. I still don't want a foldable. I'd never buy it.
Okay. How about you, Randy? This ain't it, Chief.
This ain't it, Chief. I would say, to play devil's advocate, I think the Fold is the better design.
The Galaxy Fold's better than Z Flip. Why is that?
Yeah. Screen real estate.
Mm.
Really?
Okay.
At least it has the fake potential. Potential. Oh, God, I'm so funny. Anyway, it has that. It has that. You know what? Yeah, new word. It has that potential of being a tablet.
We're going all Shakespeare on this episode.
Oth thou have the potential of being thy tablet. So, I think, it makes more sense. If you just want a phone and you have to have a flip phone, then the clamshell design. Mm-hmm. But if you're trying to really get a two-in-one, a phone and a tablet, the foldable because you get the screen real estate that gives you the quote unquote very strong air gestures of
two in one
and the mm-hmm. 2-in-1, and you have more space to do with it with battery and dimensions, and
even if it's more expensive, and you think it's better.
Coffee.
Oh, Randy got his coffee. Congratulations.
He got his coffee, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Randy is going off the deep end in 3, 2,
oh, hang on. You guys. And it's not even weird.
He's like the squirrel from Hoodwinked. Yeah, I don't need coffee.
Okay. Even if it's more expensive, you're paying for what you get. And I think people will pay for resolution, battery, and screen real estate. You get more capabilities with your tablet.
Okay.
Imagine you get iPadOS put into iPhone that folds like that.
This ties into my next question.
I would pay more money.
Imagine if you stuck
Imagine
if you stuck it in your pocket and it no longer worked after a piece of lint got on the display.
Mm. Don't use your fingernail.
Disgusting.
Or a key.
So I hope that answers your question. I'm going to take a moment of intermission here to wake up.
Thank you. Okay, so to tie in with that a little bit, I can see it from both ways. I can agree with...
Oh my God, it's so good!
He's awake now. I can agree with both of you. I'm going along with my far-centered opinion here. From a price standpoint, the Z Flip has a much better chance of selling, as does the Razer Flip, and they do have that little bit of nostalgia effect. I never owned a flip phone, so I don't have that nostalgia. I don't know if either of you did. Randy, you're a boomer. You probably did.
I have.
But,
I'm a boomer.
But
back in my day, you could drop the phone and it wouldn't break. It would just get stronger.
But let's speculate on this a little bit here, because my problem with the flip phone of both Motorola Razr and the Z Flip is that, I could be wrong, but wasn't the idea with the original flip phones, okay, not talking about foldables, just the original Razr or whatever, wasn't the idea that the phone had physical buttons and it had a display, and you didn't want to damage the display and you didn't want to set off the physical buttons, so you made it into a hinged type device that you could pocket, that way you don't set off the buttons or damage the display, right?
And it was also because this was the first time an introduction to a phone. We think about how small we could get things now. Back then, it was the opposite. Mm-hmm. How much more you could put into it with the battery. You started getting the bigger screen real estate where they actually started putting cameras on the phones. Mm-hmm. The first cameras, most of them in mainstream, were flip phones. That's when they had the music, the MP3s added to it. There was just more space inside the chassis of it for you to put more things in. The idea of having a flip phone was that you would technically have a bigger phone, but close it, and now you've condensed the size again. So it's really not rocket science, and why people are trying to do it again now. It's like, oh, so you could put it in your you can compress the size of it. That's all it was. You got a bigger phone around 2006, 2007 is when the Razr phone was starting to roll around, if I remember correctly, around that time. That's when phones started really growing really big. The ones that didn't fold, those phones were getting like little bricks. Yeah. I have this very vivid memory of my dad getting this really, really beta version of a smartphone that was not a smartphone, but it had the keyboard. But it wasn't BlackBerry either, because at that point, BlackBerry mainstreamed email and web browsing.
BBM.
This was...
Don't forget about BBM.
They mainstreamed BBM.
That's right.
The OG iMessage.
Mainstream. But so before you got BlackBerry like that, my dad had the early beta version of that. And it was so thick. And my dad said, I'm glad it's thick. I need to know it's in my pocket. Because he worked in like construction and pest control. Mm-hmm. He's like, I need to know it's in my pocket when I'm on a roof and I didn't drop it. So it's right there. I want to feel it. Other people were there. There was a market for people's like, I don't want this big old 1980s like Miami Vice looking phone in my pocket. So enter foldables. The real foldables, the first flip phones, as they call them, just flip phones. And They gave you all the same features that you can get in the other one, but it just it clamped down. And that's when they started incorporating cameras and everything I was just saying right there. So it was not like some hidden anything. We were still in the renaissance of what can we do with cell phones now that they're becoming to the mainstream like then. They're affordable with plans and stuff like that. And during that era of it, people were throwing all types of things. Because you didn't just have foldables. You had those phones that like slid to get the keyboard. Oh, yeah. Once typing was the thing. I thought it was a beautiful era of hardware that was made out of plastic pre-iPhone. Pre-iPhone. I was like, oh, man, these guys – I didn't think there could be a thing like an iPhone. I was like, these guys are onto something, man. It's going to be so cool. And then iPhone just came in and spanked everybody. Spanked themselves. Well,
I'm trying to think because, like, doesn't the idea of needing that folded up, compressed form factor kind of unnecessary now in the day where we have glass getting as strong as it is and we have touchscreens, not buttons for dialing? What's the benefit now other than just – I mean, it's not – I don't really follow the portability argument because it makes the phone thicker. It doesn't change the weight. And the video I saw of this
Z Flip looked very awkward.
The benefit of the Z Flip is that when you're done with a phone call, you can...
Yeah. I remember that argument.
Flip the phone down and close the conversation.
You can get a smartphone case that does that, can't you?
To have a less
No, you just
serious,
get jerry-rig everything to end the phone call for you.
Glass is glass.
Right.
Glass is glass. The benefit is that that's not glass, so if you drop it, it won't break. It'll be scratched beyond belief. But I think the real benefit, not the benefit, but I think the real purpose of these phones is this is them saying, I'm bored of a slab of glass. That might be Johnny Ive's final vision, but it's not ours. Or some people's like, just mix it up. These people, it is being targeted towards the millennials and older people who are around for it. I can
more
see
so the tech community.
The
I feel like
there. No.
I don't see everyday consumers getting excited for this. Honestly, I think they would look at it and go, "That's cool. How much is it?" And then they'd see the price and say, "Never in a million years will I buy."
How much is the iPhone 11?
Well, yeah. No, I mean, but the point of them is not to buy, but for them to go, "Oh, wow, that's cool. I remember when they had this."
Yes,
I don't think you're ever going to buy
them.
But
that's not a customer though. That's just press.
Yeah,
like they're aiming it from a press perspective.
If you're looking for a customer, no, it's your
don't make a foldable.
you're looking for a customer.
If you're looking for a customer, it's not going to go to the millennials or older, the Gen X's, and God, heaven forbid, that. Boomers, you like those guys. Actually, unironically, I know a few people, boomer generation, who do have an old flip phone because it's called a jitterbug, and it, all it does is a tactile key.
I remember those,
and it's just
what?
It's still around. So, you don't have really a market with foldables. It's just them saying right now everything's stale, and they're doing the opposite of the good old. We need compromise, not innovation, that our mutual friend says. But this is them saying, oh, no, let's innovate for the sake of innovation. Mm-hmm. And what I can appreciate without having to put a dollar towards it is that it reminds me of that little bit of the Renaissance-esque era of them playing with phones. I appreciate them doing it just for the sake of doing it, but put it in CES. Don't put it on the market. Just show what you're – hey, look what we're working on. The same way you do with your TVs that roll up. Don't sell them because no one's going to buy them. But then the argument will be like what they did with iPhone, the first iPhone, everything. The first gen is going to be the most expensive, and it's them just kind of getting it out there. And we can't progress it and make it cheaper and all stuff until we have a first iteration of these things. And that's – definitely what the Fold, the Galaxy Fold is a first iteration and a hot mess at that. But if they get better with it, cool. I wish them nothing but success just for the sake of spicing up the market. Have at it. You won't see a penny come out of my pocket.
I think a lot of people rely on unthought out technology based on the crooks of, well, the iPhone. I feel like it always comes back to that. Especially I saw it brought up a lot with foldables. Is we're like, well, the iPhone was expensive. Yeah, but I don't look at that the same way. Just a phone that has a square mode and a TV remote mode is not the same as what the iPhone was for the industry. That was so – like I must have seen that iPhone event with Steve Jobs a dozen times. The fact that they introduced scrolling.
That's it?
Like, come on.
Those are rookie numbers, Drew.
Well, I memorized it. I didn't need to watch it after that. But the fact that they showcased scrolling, and that was like a new thing back then. You can't act like that launch and foldables are the same thing. Like, that was such a breakthrough in so many different ways. That this idea that foldables are somehow like the next wave or it's just the same as that is not even close in my opinion, because it's still just multi-touch, and these companies that are trying to do the two-in-one are not even great at making tablets in the first place. And that brings me to my next question that I think will be an interesting one, given we've all established we're not really big fans of foldables. How would Apple do one if they had to? We're living in a hypothetical.
Before we go into that, I have one real quick question. Because I've always pondered about that question. But here's my question. Do you think we've entertained? And I'll start with you, Nick. Do you think we entertained the idea of foldables because we started getting absurdly silly with trying to go bezel-less, that they went almost off the board, and so like the foldable that folds out was their way of trying to become the most bezel-less? Have we given up the bezel-less trend now? Is that just done?
I think the bezel-less trend can only go so far. You can only get to 99 or 100% of the front of the display.
Well, what about folding? You only get...
Well, if you fold around the back side, you can get 270% of device's screen.
I think it's been an idea for a long time. It was just OLED kind of enabled people to actually start developing it in a way that was, you know, somewhat reasonable. Like, I will say foldable tech is much better now than it probably was 10 years ago. And when I'm talking foldables, I don't just mean hinges. I just mean displays actually work. But like...
That one phone that had that banana curve.
Yeah. Well, that's curved, but it's not the same as, you know, going back and forth. The G Flex and the Galaxy Round or something like that, Galaxy Curve.
Well, even back a little bit further, though, Samsung had that marketing, video where they were showing the future with all the foldables, and they had this one tablet that was basically like a pen, and you pulled it out, and it was
a scroll
screen.
I remember.
Yeah. And that was the scroll. That's perfect. That's probably the first time I remember being like, okay, yeah, I could get a foldable. That's kind of cool. Because before that scroll, I saw that scroll from Samsung, obviously rendered and whatever. Before I saw that, I thought the future of smartphones was transparent. I thought there are tons of iPhone 4 transparent renders. You just look them up. That's what I thought it was going to be.
Right.
Just a clear brick of glass with a little bezel at the top and a little bezel at the
bottom.
It still
might
be. You can see your hand behind the display, and there's no internals. I thought that was so cool. I totally thought that was the future.
They'll just move that to the AR glass.
Yeah. There you go.
In time, I think they'll do that. But, yeah, it's just a ways away.
Yeah.
I think... there's an inherent flaw with that concept, though. It's one of those things that everyone thinks in the future that's what it'll be, but they don't think about the day-to-day use of it. It's kind of like back in the 50s and 60s, and pretty much all throughout the 20th century, a lot of people thought flying cars whenever they thought future, cars flying around. And it's actually not a technological limitation. We have the tech to pretty much make...
Surely economic.
Like,
we just can't get pilot license.
It's just not a very practical idea. It's like we've discovered that any type of flying transportation has to be incredibly loud. Flying is pretty dangerous in the hands of the wrong people.
There's so many air regulations.
Yeah.
There's more air regulations than there are building regulations when you're trying to do new development. There's way more air traffic control, especially thanks Osama. You can't go 10 feet off the ground without drawing attention these
days.
Well,
it's like the technology to make something, I don't know, even as simple as like a Cessna airplane with wheels that can allow it to drive 80 miles an hour is possible. That's been done. There are flying car prototypes and concepts, and they all work. It's not a technological limitation. It's just a practical one that's like, this doesn't really make sense for our society as much as back in the 20th century we would fantasize, well, in the future we'll have flying cars, there won't be traffic.
Meet George Jetson.
Right.
His boy.
Right. But that's how I feel about...
That's what they thought the year 2000 was going to be.
Yeah, that's how I feel about foldables and the scrolls and the idea that, well, in the future, displays will be like paper. And they will open up and unwrap and...
Samsung's version of a scroll. Apple's version of a scroll.
Hold on. I'm not done.
Nick's version of a scroll.
Ah, thank you. That ties into my next point. As much as it sounds cool that we would have something we can roll up and put away, because we have things like paper, paper is so dang disposable. We use it by the 500. We sell them in packs of 500.
Paper's paper, and
it's because while it is flexible, yes, and we can roll it up and we can do lots of different things with it, that's not what technology has statistically been for us. It's some type of computational device that we want to buy and use for at the least a year, maybe less, but for the minimum, like a year, most people want to hold on to a phone even longer than that, or a tablet or a computer. There's something we want to use regularly, take out of our pockets all the time. That's not what paper is. That's not something you fold up.
That's what paper used to be. The OG tablet, 1850s.
But you went through...
School kids would get a slate tablet. Them.
Oh, a slate tablet.
Stone was the OG tablet.
Okay, fine. But in the 1850s, school kids would save, you know, their nickel and go buy a slate tablet for school. And they'd get chalk, and they'd use that one tablet for, like, years. Like, years. Like, not their entire career of school, but, like, years.
Things that are more permanent and are solid and not as
exactly.
disposable.
Exactly. It was very solid. Mm-hmm. And it became disposable. Yes. It went from, you know, slate being the... Because transporting paper was expensive back then. It was the cost to make it and transport it was too expensive. Mm-hmm. Just like foldables, a folding disposable display is too expensive right now. Maybe in the future, you know, we'll have... You buy a box of 500 Samsung Galaxy Fold 9000s and...
just like paper?
You just use it for the afternoon, and when it gets crumpled up, you throw it in the trash.
We might.
No,
I don't either. But I personally think that the age of smartphones and tablets are the type of technology that we want to... You want to buy something and use it for a year or more. That's got to be rigid. That's got to be more solid. It can't be as fragile. And there's a physics issue whenever you want to make something that folds back and forth, it has to be weaker. And when it's weaker, it becomes less durable. Well, we'll make glass that's foldable. Well, in order for it to fold, it has to be rigid. You can't really... It's pretty difficult to make something that can be as durable and also flex without getting into the weird, like, Moto Razor saying bumps and lumps are normal with our phone. You know, you should just expect that.
No.
It doesn't work for something that's, like, when people did durability tests with it, it broke after, like, not even 30,000 folds.
If Apple was to do a foldable... And I hope they don't. I hope they just patent things just for the sake of obtaining a trademark or something. If they were to do a foldable, excluding a wearable, I'm not talking a watch or glasses or anything like that. I'm talking about like
foldable glasses,
consumer
product like that.
Tangible product.
The iPad. The iPad is what they would they would do, and they would do it just so that way they kind of bridge the gap. That gap they're not trying to bridge about an iPad and a MacBook. They would do it in that type of configuration is the only way. And the only reason why is because mobility. You're flying. So, you know, things like that. Like, it's not gimmicky. And it's, hey, look at this one. You could do it so that way it opens like a teepee or something. No, it's
do you have to fold a hamburger or hot dog? Mm-hmm. That's my question.
Well, it would be... the
clamshell?
Hamburger, I guess. Clamshell, and you know
I'm
the
just
foldable.
Hungry.
I would argue
yet.
That can the foldable be two separate screens, like the whole
that surface
haptic feedback? No, I'm talking like you know you. So you have your display and it's touchable. The iPad, then you have another one right here, your keyboard or whatever. Imagine the touch bar that we have for the MacBooks, but the whole thing. Does that count as a foldable?
No, I don't count that because otherwise. The MacBook we have now is a foldable.
Exactly.
Yeah, because there's two screens.
Actually, any laptop
is a foldable. My iPad
is a foldable.
Well, it would technically be any laptop that has a display on both ends. That's why I don't even count the surface.
Then my MacBook is a foldable.
Yes, it is. In that terminology. In my opinion, when we're referring to foldables, it's when we're talking about taking the display and warping it where there's no seam. So
I really hope I don't see a benefit for it unless it's
there's,
like
there's a couple pros, but I think glasses there's about two pros to a foldable and there's about 12 cons, which is why it wouldn't take off.
Let me hear your pros.
What's your list?
Pros are like it's cool. We like that it folds because cool, and I don't know. Yeah, cool. It's a subjective thing, but that's honestly the best argument I've seen for the Z Flip so far. I've argued with so many people on the Z Flip, and they keep saying, it looks cool, I want one. And I say, why? And they're like, because it does the fold thing. And I'm like, why is that cool? It's cool. And it's also it's a common argument that it's for portability's sake, so that you can take a larger display and fold it up into a more compact footprint, which to me is not a great pro because it doesn't change the weight of the device and it increases the thickness of it, and it would probably feel more like a brick in your pocket than your phone already does. I'd rather have a rectangle that's fairly thin than a very thick square. It just fits in the pocket better because that's what I'm used to. But there's the argument of, I don't know, the females with shorter pockets, that the argument can be made. But it comes along with any device that's foldable, you're paying for more display, which means it's more expensive. So the price, I think, will always be a factor. It also comes in with, if you're making something that flexes back and forth, it's a huge compromise in durability, as we've seen with every single foldable someone's tried to make. It's terribly fragile. And that's been a common selling point of phones the past few years, is water resistance, dust resistance, and better glass technology. And we've been trying to combat this, and this takes you way back to square one smartphone of being like a drop of water could kill this thing. it even takes us back further, I think, because
a fingernail
can permanently damage it. It has that. It has the expensive factor. It has the durability factor. And it seems that even the decently priced ones have pretty awful specs, but I guess that ties into the price point, is like for what you're getting, the specifications won't be great, especially when you do something like a Galaxy Fold, where you're talking about two kind of phones that are sewn together with a display. It means you have to cut up the battery, so you can't have a single cell as large as you can with something like an iPad, because it can just be one pouch. It doesn't have to be two separate batteries communicating over a hinge. Not to mention just awkwardness of holding it. Like, I watched that video of someone using the Z Flip, and it looks terribly uncomfortable to use with one hand. Creases over time, which I guess that ties into durability. But anyway, that's probably the main reason I feel like this is a gimmick and not the future. It's just it's 2 steps forward, 12 steps back.
And the current design of a phone, just a simple square with little bezel, not square, rectangle, whatever. I think that's about as good as it's ever going to get for me. Like, it's the perfect size. You guys know how I treat my devices, which is not all that nicely.
With love and respect.
I'm getting better. I'm going through device counseling with my devices.
You would kill a foldable on day one if you had one.
I would kill it before I got the box open. That's the problem.
Yeah, I think you would.
But the
Nick like has that
are you okay?
He has that dummy strength that just finds a way to like and he just Hulk. Grabs and snaps right. it.
I'll just like, Hulk the
me big mad.
But like I love my phone. Like I'm almost sad that they're bringing back the hard corners, because this is one of my favorite features of my current phone, just my iPhone 11 Pro Max.
I'm lukewarm about
64
it.
Gigabytes, which yeah. I thought of getting before Drew thought of getting. So there you go, Drew's copying me. But this device is just it's the perfect size for my huge body. It's the perfect size for watching content. It's solid. It's thick. The battery life lasts forever. It's durable. I can chuck this thing across the room and not feel like it's going to fall apart. Yes, Randy, I'm ranting, Nick. And you can raise your hand all day long, and I'm going to continue ranting until I run out of air.
It's not – oh, man, you got a lot of air to run out of.
It's all hot. That's the problem, though.
You – no, what I was going to say is not in a ranting point, but you like that phone so much. You know, you don't have to upgrade.
What?
No. Yes, he does. You know that's true.
Look at him. He's hyperventilating, guys. He's hyperventilating.
You know he has to.
I just triggered him.
There's no question.
You what? I can't wait. The thing is, Nick, you're absolutely right. This is the perfect phone. I love this phone. I love the color. I love the cameras. I love the battery. I love the girth or the chunk. As the girth. I love it all. Everything about it is amazing. I am just dying. And I know how you feel about this, Drew, and I don't care how you feel. I miss the iPhone 5 series. I don't
I think
care.
So you do. That's my
I think
good.
We should start talking
I'm not
about
bored.
That.
I love – you said it too. You know what? I'm going to put your own words in your mouth, Drew. Give me what's on the iPad on the phone. Guess what? iPad looks like
yeah,
iPhone
but no,
5.
It's not the squared I things I want. It's the, it's the ProMotion, the USB-C, the – That's it,
no,
mostly.
No, 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 no. Randy 1-2-0.
Okay.
Well, if Apple made a foldable, which I don't think they will, I think that them passing patents means nothing. About 85% of the patents they register are never into real products. But even if they did make one, I will go on the record saying they would make the best one because they're the only company that has nailed software on a tablet and the phone simultaneously. And if they did make one, I feel like that's what they would probably come at it as, is something that's like a iPad mini slash Pro Max device merged into one, so that folded up you could have a fairly large display, and then unfolded you could have a iPad mini with split screen and picture in picture and that kind of thing. But I think I'm not on board with this idea of a device with like hinges and grooves and creases. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that's something Apple wouldn't be for. Even like the tri-fold I've seen people pitch of like more of a
yeah,
Z
the
shape
Z one.
With yeah. two hinges. I just don't like the idea of using a tablet or a device that has little nooks and creases and grooves. I think Apple's on board with this idea of a flat, just simple glass tablet versus a device with multiple, you know, protrusions all over it. I would feel like it would pinch me. I would feel like it had weak points and the stylus support wouldn't be that great yeah. with a tablet on that size anyway. And if it gets folded up, I don't know. It just seems like Apple's the type of company to skip out on the 2-in-1, you know? That's why they never made a iPad MacBook combo
exactly.
type thing. So
and On that point, though, with the mm-hmm. kind of seamless design of it, I had to pop my SIM card out because I was traveling and my SIM card was not Uh-oh. Figuring out which network it was on or whatever. So I just
you threw your phone.
Shut up,
switch carriers.
Brandy. No, I did not switch carriers, which we'll get to in a second. Okay. I popped out the SIM card and I popped it back in, and I can't get the SIM card tray to sit flush anymore. Like it's it looks perfect. Like from visually speaking, I couldn't tell you that it's off just a hair.
Same.
But just
Same.
Rubbing my finger over the SIM card slot, I feel it. And since I don't use
Same.
A case, it's bugging me a lot.
Mine
like,
is perfect.
I'm kind of wishing the SIM card Same. Tray wasn't there, along with the stupid lightning port that I also don't use.
Not going to lie, Nick, I thought I screwed something up a long time ago because I did that one time.
Yeah.
And exactly. It looks so perfect, uh-huh. but when I go like this, I'm like,
you can feel it. And then the
perfect.
I'm yeah. worried that the O-gasket or whatever, the seal is not like set perfectly. So like, I'm worried about my waterproofing now. Like, is
I've
this
held
thing
my phone
waterproof?
Underwater.
I don't know.
Well, it's not like you're going to go canoeing and then put your phone in there for a vlog.
Yes,
I would
is.
Not do that. And it worked fine, by the way. No problem. And I've taken my SIM card out before. It must be a Mint Mobile thing. But either way.
Oh. I'm the only one with the Mint Mobile color.
Well, that's not rude.
I love this color. I hope they bring back green next year. I want this color to stay, and I know it's not going to stay because they never keep the color.
Midnight blue, probably.
But this, I was so
that's what's coming.
Guys.
So then, don't upgrade, Randy.
How dare you? How dare you?
That's a double-edged sword. No, I don't care. I
will spit in your face.
I think there's a way they can have the squared edges and still make it comfortable to hold. But I'll have
you
to
mean
try
there's
it
a way they
first.
Can have their cake and eat it too?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's my favorite way to enjoy cake.
Yeah, I love just having
so
cake and not eating it.
I love it. I don't like
this pizza. This is basically just a food podcast between all the hamburgers and hot dogs and tacos and...
Pretty much.
Cake.
Cake.
Speaking of...
so much cake,
great customer service. I had a terrible customer service with Apple recently, which is kind of interesting. I have a story to share.
Oh, my.
This will be a...
Is this a podcast
yeah,
exclusive?
I was just going to say. This is a podcast exclusive.
Randy, we finally did it.
I'm
we
on
got
the record.
Some exclusive content.
This will become a video.
Nick, call your family.
I'm calling
this will
my
be
mom
a video.
Already.
Nick, call your family. We so, made it. Take that Apple commercial.
It's not,
we're getting
it's not a surprising now. One, but my wife still uses Gen 1 AirPods, bless her heart. And one of the...
What's wrong with that, Drew?
She doesn't even have the wireless charging case or anything. Nothing's wrong with it. That's fine. Some of us make less than the rest of us. It's fine. But the right AirPod was getting way quieter than the left one. And I was like, yep, that's what happens once you've owned them for or too long or whatever. And I tried them on. I tried them on different devices and everything. I was like, okay, it's not a software problem. It's definitely the right AirPod was way quieter. So I was like, don't worry about it, honey. I've done this before. I know exactly what to do. I contact customer service, provide them the serial number. Luckily, it was under warranty and everything. So I said, we just need a replacement right AirPod. And they said, okay, we'll mail it out to you. I said, thanks. And then they sent us the left one. And
oh, my gosh.
At first, I was like, wait. Did I ask for the left one? Maybe I did. So I switched it out, try them on. I was like, nope, it was definitely the right one. I could barely even hear it.
Now the difference is even worse.
Apparently you get instantly advanced to senior customer support as soon as something with your replacement part goes wrong. Because I was like, hey, you sent me the left one. I needed the right one. And they were like, ugh. Okay, I'm going to put you on
Here's
hold
Tim
there
Cook's
for a
phone
second.
Number.
Yeah. Right. We're going to have to pass you over to Tim. I called someone else, and I explained to them. So they're like, what do you need today? I can't believe that they always ask for your like case ID. They're always like, what's your repair ID so we can understand what's going on? So we do that, and then they ask you what the problem is. It's like, what's the point of giving you the ID if when I get you on the line, you're just going to act like we've never met and you know nothing about the situation? Just like, we're going to pass you over to Tim here. Hey, Andrew, how can I help you?
That's funny.
And I'm just like, okay, so we asked for a replacement of the right AirPod and you sent us the left one. How could we get the right one? And they were like, okay, well, they have to put a charge on your credit card when they send you one, but then they remove the charge once you return the old one. And I said, well, we asked for the right, you gave us the left, now what? And they said, well, since you've already given us a hold on your card, we're actually just going to send you a right AirPod, and we're not going to ask for a charge on your account. We're just going to send you the right one, send back the right one that's not working, and... also send back the left one, and the card, the charge will be removed from your card. And I was like, this is a little complicated, but okay, I get it. And this is when me and my wife were like, huh, let's just replace both of them. I don't think they'll notice, because it's still got to go to the, it still has to go to the repair, unopened, but they're not going to just put it back on the shelf because we've opened it and everything. Mm-hmm. And the way these AirPods work is the label they need to mail it to you is on the outside, and then you can tear it off, and underneath is the label to send it back. So we got the right AirPod this time. No, it actually gets worse. They were about to mail it. They were like, okay, we received your follow-up call, and they sent me the emails like, here's your parts that are coming to you. It was the left one again.
Oh my goodness!
Like, we just
you're kidding.
Specified in the phone call you sent the wrong one, and they probably I don't know how it went or something, but on the phone it must have been something like, "So you want the left one, right?" And I was like, "Right." And they went, "Okay," and ordered it. Probably went something like that. But in the email it said something like, "If you have any questions, feel free to email us back." And it said left in the receipt and everything. So I emailed them, "Hey, this is the exact reason we contacted you, and you're screwing it up again. I am the Apple sheet." No, I didn't use my YouTuber card.
I am Talos of Tech.
My wife works in
hear me roar.
My wife works in customer service, so she was very particular about how I talk to them and what I say, and so because she deals with people on the phone and online chat all the time, so she was like, "Don't be angry. Don't say this. Don't say that."
Right. The louder you raise your voice, the more you get results.
So I'm a patient guy, and I had two pairs of AirPods anyway, so it's not like that we were in a hurry. I was just letting my wife use my AirPods 2 anyway, So I was like, don't worry about it. I was like, hey, we need a replacement one. And of course, they have to repeat everything back to you. So I would be more than happy to help you with the replacement right AirPod. And I'm like, I know you have to say that. I don't care. I really don't. This is not an immediate problem. We're not worried. We're not in a hurry. We're not mad. Just figure it out. And so I emailed them and they went, oh, our bad. We'll send you the right one. So they had to switch it out. They did send us the right one. And we're like, okay, cool. Let's clean up our old ones. We put both the new ones in the case. We get them all paired and everything. And we take off the label for the right one. There's no label underneath it. So there's no way to send back the defective right AirPod. And we're like, so we can send back the left one, but we can't send back the one that they actually wanted in the first place. The one that was actually bad. So we call them again. This is call number 3 or 4. And we're like, hey, the lady we talked to said we had to send back the right AirPod and you didn't give us a return label, so we need a return label. And they said, well, since we didn't charge you for this replacement right AirPod, we can't – there's no option in our system to send you a return label. Like, we don't do that. So we're not going to charge you. And we were like, well, that means you sent us a brand new right AirPod. We have our old one. And that was free of charge. It didn't cost us anything because we've paid nothing at this point other than the left one, which we're sending back. And they were like, yeah, that's fine. They were like, well, the last lady said we had to send it back. And he was like, well, she must have messed up because we have no way to send you a return label. And nowhere in our system does it say we're expecting for you to send back two. It just wants the one, the left one, which was fine. So basically, because they messed up on their end, they wanted to send us, which, by the way, if you want to buy one single AirPod out of warranty, it's like $73.
Oh, wow.
They basically just sent us one and didn't want the old one back. And
so now you're selling.
I'm sure the profit margin's more.
All of our Talos of Tech podcast listeners, we are offering an exclusive deal for only $83.
You can get a
slightly
AirPod.
Used first generation right AirPod.
I listened to it. I can say it was about 20% volume of what it was supposed to be. Like when I put them both in.
So this is prime quality audio.
I'm not. I told people actively in my last Twitch stream to not buy my merch. I said, don't do it.
That's funny. Every time you're like, hey, full disclosure, they're not a sponsor. Because that'd be weird, right? I'm not good at selling.
I could probably accept money from them and I would make the same video. I'm a great businessman. Anyway,
people are lining up at the door to do business with me. Hey, they're not a sponsorship, but, you know, they're all right.
I spend about as much time in the video explaining why I'm not sponsored. That exact amount of time could be used saying it is sponsored, and I would have gotten paid.
Sponsored by
100% more. Yeah, right. Raid Shadow Legends. Anyway, so that was my story.
An exclusive offer.
We basically now have
at least tried to make it right.
They tried to make it right, but it was way too complicated.
They didn't charge you for the AirPod you got to keep. Like,
well, but Nick, remember, Drew is not a people person. He did not want to cough three more times.
And it was frustrating that they kept making me call them. They kept wanting me to call them.
He says that's my idea.
But I kept wanting to do it from the app because you can just text. I've ordered replacement AirPods through the app before, and they weren't letting me. Yeah. They were like, no, we don't have chat available. You can call, though. And I was like, I don't want to call anyone. And then when you hit call, they're like, we'll call you. We'll call you. You don't need – we can't accept your call right now. You have to tell us a good time.
Is
any time in the next couple minutes good?
Drew gets the highest anxiety from this.
And I'm like, sure. Yeah, call me in the next couple minutes. I'll be ready. And they're like, okay. 3 seconds go by. They call us. I'm like, if you had someone on the line –
and they put you on hold.
Just let me call you. That wasn't necessary. That wasn't a needed process. We'll call you when we're ready.
If you want to win the Apple Sheep's approval for their customer service, just don't have a phone option. Just all chat.
Buy new AirPods every year, and then this won't be an issue.
You see,
there you go.
Well, the real issue, Drew, is you wouldn't have this issue if you just had, a concierge to call and be, hey,
true.
I need
that doesn't
I need
that
help.
Doesn't fix
Drew's
the problem.
At me.
That's
yeah,
that's just another
person
to talk to.
Your problem. Your problem is from within, Grasshopper.
I hate phone calls of all kind because especially when Apple's like,
but you take a FaceTime call like a champ.
This is different. This is just us friends. I just mean
this is
FaceTime
fun.
Is different. That's
why he blocks all my calls. I was wondering what was happening
no,
there.
Like,
I thought it was
regular, not FaceTime audio, but just over the like regular cell tower phone call. The quality is so garbage. And they still want to play music. And when they want to play music when you're on hold and it just sounds like garbage, it's like, and you can't do anything else because you have to be listening.
And then the music has like a pause in the music. It'll be like,
honestly, like,
hello?
How come Apple has holds? If you're going to put me on hold, just call me back at that point. You know, because I'd rather get a notification and a buzz when you're ready than just have to wait listening to crappy music because I can't do something else because I have to be
Actually,
listening to it.
Apple is one
we
of
need
the
to get
only
off this
customer
topic
service
really because I can see you forming a video idea in your head. I can see it happening.
Nope. I'm on the record. I won't do it. No video after that topic.
Because you're like, you know, Drew, I know when you're forming a video idea because you present the problem and then you go, why can't we just, I'm like, here we go.
No,
let's jump right
this
into
this wouldn't be a good enough video. This is a lame topic.
Oh, you
Why
mean
not?
You mean it's not good enough for the YouTube channel?
Not for Talos.
That's
Atos.
The end of my rant. It's not. I'll bring a next. My next topic is one I can pass on to you guys. It's a good question, and it won't be a video. I think.
Did you script this show?
Anyway,
exclusively starts trying to come up with topics. I'm not going to make a video about
that. We usually don't write down notes, but everyone keeps commenting on
you.
My. It's
I'm
not you guys. You guys, you can make fun of me all you want. It won't offend me. It's the comments. They don't offend me either. But there's so many comments of people saying, you got this from the podcast. And I'm like, yeah, the podcast that I'm on that I brought up the idea for. Yes, I stole it from myself. How could I? So that's when I started.
I was fleshing out a video idea in Lifetime. Sorry.
That's when I started jogging down notes of like, here's things I'll bring up on the podcast that wouldn't make great videos, but they would make good talking points. So that's what I'm doing. But
okay,
anyway,
fine. I will allow it.
My next question is, Apple is crushing it in the wearable department, right? Their AirPods are selling great. Apple Watch is selling great. iPhone, even this year, is breaking records. It's selling really, really well. And the iPad is dominating the tablet market. So my question on to you guys, let's start with Randy. What market do you think they need to go into next, or one that they're already part of that they need to dominate like they are in those other categories?
That's not considering the wearables?
If you have an idea for wearables, but I just mean like they're already crushing it with watches. I read somewhere that the Apple Watch is selling better than Swiss watches now.
Yes.
So my gut instinct, it's not the one I want, but my gut instinct is saying health.
Mm.
Their collaborations with the hospitals and the research centers and stuff like that, I think is very noble, very mm-hmm. long-term and very proactive in regards to trying to identify health risks and stuff like that. And all those things tie into the fact that they're crushing the wearables and stuff like that. I'm a young spiffy 20 something year old for just a couple more weeks and then I'll be a 30 something year old
young spiffy.
So
we're all in our 20s.
So for me,
this is going to end shortly.
I don't want to talk about it. No, I don't care. But my point is that like health isn't on my radar, but I know that's not the case. And I know that we all know some mutual people that like they take their health a little bit more seriously and that this is something that's more important to them. And I would be selfish to say that like, but I think there is big value just for humans in general, mankind, big value in trying to make these big leaps in medical research and health research and stuff like that. And if they can contribute to it in a way that shows that, you know, tech is intuitive, friendly, and everyone can do certain functions just from the wrist or from the ears or from the whatever, I why not? Please. Because we all will eventually cross some type of health hurdle we need to get over. And the idea of not having a more seamless engagement with that moment and being to help us, like I would love for that to be something, you know, for everybody. So that's what my instinct says. With that being said, selfishly, that's not where I would want them to go. If they could do it all at once, then cool. I would want them to really pursue cameras. Full-fledged independent cameras.
Get into a
cameras like
you're not talking Red Digital, but you mean like the up and coming
the Pro XDR display of Red Digital cameras.
What?
No,
you lost. You know how the reference monitors
talking about the mirrorless
are like $40,000, and the Pro Display XDR is like $6,000, but it's about the same quality. You do the same thing with cameras.
But go on. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I want them to go into – imagine this is what we just have on these little point-and-shoots that we have right here. If you got a camera hardware that was built to be nothing but a camera and it has Bluetooth or Wi-Fi connectivity like some of these newer
AirDrop
cameras do, these DSLRs or mirrorless, yes. And now you're in the Apple ecosystem with it. You are able to record full legit 4K 60. You can adjust the focus, or maybe it's even auto. The point is that you have more tools. I think about the apps. It started with the app, the Filmic Pro. I'm like, look at what their other people are doing. Imagine they incorporate it into an actual camera that has adjustable apertures, that has adjustable everything, and it's not software.
Right.
It's hardware. Hardware first. On top of still having the
software.
It's just
software, the camera app from iOS, but that's it. With a settings option.
Imagine just what if you could just cram everything, hardware in there that we can't do on such thin little slabs like this. Imagine what an actual mirrorless or DSLR camera could do for you with just the hardware. And then on top of that, it still gets updates. Yeah. It can either have a camera OS or be an extension of iOS, and so therefore it not only communicates via like AirDrop and stuff like that, but any software stuff that just helps it be seamless. You can AirDrop it right into Final Cut or your app of choice. There's so much opportunity with it, but I would love for them to have a dedicated camera for that.
How about you, Nick? With all these markets they're dominating, is there another one you want to see them dominate when they go into?
Yeah. So Apple is a huge company.
Pretty big.
Unbelievably massive. Like market share, you know, employees, cash on hand, revenue. They're absolutely a massive company.
They could do whatever they want.
It's almost hard to imagine how big they are.
Yeah.
I don't think their future is one thing. At this point, their future used to always be one thing.
Minus $1.4 trillion.
Yeah, nothing. You know, whatever. It's market cap, not cash. But same thing.
So not one
thing. Big company. Same thing. Yeah, so I don't think one thing. I'm sitting here thinking like, yeah, Randy, definitely health going to be a huge thing. Integrating with hospitals and collecting more data on my wrist and in my ear. And,
healthcare,
you know, everything about me and how many steps I do and, you know, whatever. All that. Cool. But in the past, it's always been the iPod, the iPhone, the iPad, the Mac. These are their products. They're
the
moving towards services
products.
As a general business.
Yeah.
They're getting Apple TV Plus. They're getting Apple Music. They have you know, the health services. They have all these different services that they're providing. iCloud storage. You know, all these other things. They're complementing their products. I don't know where they go else. You know, where they go with their products besides where, you know, the iterating the current, you know, iPhone, iterating the current Apple Watch, maybe making AirPods better, maybe making the AR glass, you know, kind of more iterative products. As far as whole new categories go, I think we're going to see them branch into they have so many skilled engineers. They have, you know, 200,000, you know, skilled engineers working in Cupertino and down in Houston somewhere in Texas, Austin.
Yeah.
Anyway, they have a bunch of real
Austin boy.
Sorry. Austin, just defended boy. Half of Texas, which is not a good thing to do. But these engineers are so skilled that they're gonna get bored. You know, making the iPhone 55 and the AR Smart Glass 12. You know, it's gonna get iterative and repetitive for them, and so they're gonna find new avenues to kind of explore. You know, maybe that is a car. Maybe it is a space company. Maybe it's you know, some kind of subcontractor for a space company. I don't know what these talented people, because at this point, Apple is just talent. That's what they are. They're a brand that has talent behind it. And what those people decide to do is kind of anyone's guess at this point. I think health, there are lots of places that are obvious that they're going to be growing into. But I don't think I could say, you know, back when in 2007, we could say, oh yeah, the next big thing is going to be the tablet. You know, mm-hmm. that's going to rule the next decade. Mm-hmm. But I can't say that right
rule
now.
The galaxy. Yeah. Rule the galaxy.
Okay, I finished my 2-minute monologue. I appreciate the attention.
Got it in.
This has been my TED Talk. What do you think, Drew?
I agree with both of you that it's impossible to know. Basically, Apple is a giant.
That was my point. Randy said health.
Yeah.
My point was that
he said
it's
health
to
probably
know.
Makes the most sense. But I agree with Randy. What I want is the camera business. I don't see them going into the hardware side of it. I think the most likely way we can kind of get what you were talking about is if Apple decided to buy a company like Blackmagic, which partners with Apple a lot already. I mean, they sell Blackmagic GPUs on the store, and Blackmagic always showcases their hardware with Apple computers, and they showcase how you can use it with Mac OS and Final Cut and DaVinci, and DaVinci's always showcased on Mac and everything. There could be a really cool partnership there. I would be very, very shocked if Apple just came out with their own hardware, like we're going to make our own lenses or our own cameras and we're going to make our own platform. That would be cool, but I doubt they would do it. It would be neat, though, if they just bought Blackmagic and then said we're going to make custom integrated software, kind of like how they bought Beats and gave it the W1 chip. If they did something like that with Blackmagic and said, okay, only Blackmagic cameras can have the AirDrop capability, or only they can have this new custom CPU we've developed that's going to help with computational videography and photography. I know that the reason they probably don't is because Apple thinks that they just need to make the iPhone camera better and better to the point that we don't need studio cameras, but I think anyone in the...
I disagree. Yeah. I think fundamentally that's
I think
wrong.
You never can because
you can capture in the scene. That's the limitation.
Right. There's always going to be a limitation with what you can do on a phone versus what you can do with a giant dedicated actual camera. And I think Apple knows that. You know, they don't film their commercials on iPhones. Sometimes they do, but they make you know about it. And everyone goes, that looks like an iPhone.
Shot on iPhone.
Yeah, I can tell.
And to my point, though, of Apple being talent, Apple's camera team is incredible. You know, every year they push the boundary of mobile photography.
Right.
Think of what they could do if they decided one day, okay, iPhone camera's good enough this year. Let's make a really good pro-level camera.
Actual camera. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it'll blow your mind, the color accuracy and the focus pixels. And
so
just,
going up against Canon and Nikon and Sony.
Yeah. Like,
Sony.
They could create an amazing product in a year.
And I think that would tie in with the products they currently have so much, because I think the Mac line is very popular amongst photographers and videographers and,
very
YouTubers
much so.
And stuff like that. So they would have a market there of people. Like, I don't think it would be a small bet. Like, if they went into cameras, there's a ton of Mac users that are using cameras regularly. I feel like that's the only other market. You know, they're in the sound business a little bit. They're not too much in the professional sound business, but they're into the HomePod and the AirPods and the Beats, and they're into wearables, and they're into desktops,
Logic.
Laptops, tablets. You know, that I feel like the camera's like the last piece or something, or maybe a microphone. I don't know. Something like, I know they just want to embed all that talent they have into the iPhone. I would just love to see it if they just went all out with it. And
well, remember that quadrant that they had, consumer, professional, and laptop, desktop? Same thing. The phone part is the consumer side of it. So you get one size fits most, but now give me the very specific – give me the Mac Pro equivalent for a camera, for audio, for the headphones and stuff like that. Stuff that I would pay the premium knowing, you know, for sure the warranty, the reputation of – just high quality as a whole. I would pay the premium for stuff like that. The same reason why people pay the premium for a Mac Pro.
Right.
You got most of your pieces there. Get more into the professional side. And I remember, what was it, like 4 years ago or 3 years ago? People made the argument like, Apple doesn't care about their pro users anymore. That was their big thing. Mm-hmm. They've completely forgot about the Mac Pro, and that's where they're like, here's the iMac
now
Pro.
Now they care too much about their pro users. It went too far.
I know. They say that they have all these little specials, but they're like, you're just working on the iPad, and you're just trying to do MacBook Airs, and you just keep thinning things, and we don't need thinner things. We need powerful things. And I remember that being the big argument since iPhone 6S and stuff. Like, people were just, you know, more or less cranky and upset. Rightfully so. I understand their stressors on that. Not to the extent where I'm complaining. I'm just saying, give the same attentiveness that you're giving to the hardware of the computer itself. And you've already proven that outside of the computer, you make amazing lenses. You make amazing AI that can identify what is what and how to do all that and how to compress it. You spend 5 to 15 minutes showing all those quick layer photos that you take and how you stitch it all together, and you do all that stuff. Now imagine that's for a consumer under $1,000 that you did on a single lens for the 10R, for the 11. Now do that to something that I have to pay $2,300 for, just for the body kit of it, and then the lens is cost.
Especially
separate.
In the world where they've ditched the SD card slot so much, you know, on both the MacBook, even the Mac Pro doesn't have an SD card slot. If they entered that video and photo world, they can be like, yeah, no, don't use SD card anymore. Now you can use the wireless or
AirDrop.
It'll come AirDrop. With a Thunderbolt 3 transfer capability. You just plug in or something like that. And they could be like, see, this is how we think the camera process should go. Because I don't want them to bring back the SD card slot. I don't think that's the solution. But it is an inconvenience for a lot of people. If it would go along with the stigma of, you know, sell a solution. But it's a better solution, in my opinion, if you can.
Yeah.
It's
not like they're locking you out of it.
They're so good the way.
You know, if you want to use red camera, you can still use a red camera, even though Apple did this. It's not locking you out of that solution.
Right. You're not locked out of it. But Apple's software that's able to compress those high all that data and make it so it still
they
fits
would probably
on it so that
give
we don't have to worry about running out
iPad
of space.
Pro CPU in that camera,
easily,
like an A13X chip or
MacBook.
Something. Yeah,
and then they can market towards the whole thing where it's like, oh, and not only all that, but there's one more thing. I don't know why I did jump. I'm sorry.
One thing they could do is
but the camera can then
with Wi-Fi AR, capability, they could let you control it remotely.
AR.
And you could also even hook up, maybe not video, but the photo aspect of it to your iCloud photo stream. So when you take pictures, it loads up to your cloud. They show up on your phone and iPad automatically.
That would make lots of sense, actually.
You can open it up for developers when they want to make AR games or VR games whatever games that. I mean, there's so much more room for growth and just give those tools.
We're giving
to
them
creatives.
This square inch of space for all of the photography and videography teams. We only give them a square inch on each iPhone every year. It's like, come on, let's give them some real projects to dive into.
Give them the same way you gave us a dedicated audio solution. Yeah, that's true. So, but the same way you gave the audio solution. With these and then buying the acquisition of Beats and everything like that and HomePod and all that stuff, give us a dedicated solution now for the visual component of it for cameras. Oh, my God.
That would be so
awesome. Drew, make a video about this.
Drew, make a video.
More people need to know about this. Make a video.
Why they need to enter the camera market.
It's the only
other market I could think of them entering other than just stuff that's already limited by technology. It's like they're working on AR stuff, but, you know.
That's more exciting than foldables. Work on like a new product. Mm-hmm.
Another thing.
I'm more excited about that.
As long as we're talking about random things Apple should do. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of like a smart security camera, like the Amazon Cloud Cam or the Ring doorbells. But I just don't trust those companies.
Yeah.
Like Ring got caught having all of the backup footage in some unencrypted Amazon
or
web
smart home stuff
file. Mm-hmm. I know. Apple is one of the only companies that I trust with my personal data to, like, probably a fault, if we're honest.
That's a good point.
But they could make a lot of money doing that.
Yeah. If they built it right into the home app, it would be kind of cool. Like, next to all your bulbs and everything, you could just have a live view. I know that – I think there's some third parties that let you do that. But if they made their own proprietary – like, working on making a better smart home setup process would be very helpful, because right now it's like any smart home appliance, you need to download an app and you need to make an email with them and you have to make a password with a special character and a number and a capital just to plug in a light bulb. And it needs that H1 pairing process that AirPods have. They need to bring that outside of just headphones. It needs that for like, okay, time to set up a bulb. And, you know, when you plug it in, it just brings up the little pop-up on iOS and you hit set up. And even if they outsourced it to other companies, I don't care. Just there's lots of things they can bleed their genius into. That smart home would be a good one, too. I agree. Yeah. I still use my cars. Amazon cloud cams.
You let them spy on you. I see.
I do, too. Every single day. It's how I check on my dog when I'm at work.
It's how I see when my
how's she doing?
When my mail gets here or when my wife comes home. I just have a live view outside. And I don't care much about security. If someone offered me $1,000 a month that said that they can look at my security cameras at any time, I would take it. I'd be like, okay, $1,000 a month. Enjoy. You can watch. I don't care. I got nothing to hide. But
that's what YouTube is.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what live streams are. Hey, everyone, come watch me.
Make
come
lunch.
Look at me.
Everyone, stare into my personal life, and I'll capitalize on it. It's great. It's wonderful.
And if you and if you subscribe for our Patreon, you can get access to Drew's webcam service just 24/7. Watch
what
over
people
his
would be willing to pay for
edits.
That. Let me know. I'll give everyone my. Can you do that? Can you authorize someone, another user? Like, I don't want them to be able to order stuff on my Amazon account. But if someone was willing to give me $1,000 a month, but they got to look at my cloud cams, I'd be like, okay, that's fair. Worth it.
I would worth it. But not $998 a month.
Government's going to do it, and they're not paying me. So I might as well share it out,
yeah,
out
that's
there.
True.
But anyway, we need to wrap up. Unless you guys have closing thoughts.
Yep.
We need to come up with some new clothing thoughts here because, you know, air
Magic
power
Mouse is not that
spot.
Bad.
I'll think about
about
it.
About that. Do you like the Magic Mouse, Randy, or do you think it's stupid? I don't know if we've talked about this.
I am Team Magic Trackpad for the win.
Oh.
I have never every desktop
mouse.
I've ever
no,
owned
mouse.
That you know has the little mouse thing. I hate it. I love the Magic Trackpad because it's just like my MacBooks. It's just it's huge. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous.
I'm Team Magic
okay.
Mouse.
Okay, cool. There's no disagreements
I'm
there.
I'm Team Magic.
If they made a smaller version, they could make it the Mini Mouse.
If they did, then
it'd be Mini Mouse. They already had a Mighty Mouse. They had the Mighty Mouse.
I'm assuming you think the charging method is kind
of
dumb. How would you fix
course,
it?
Yeah.
Would you say they need to redesign it so that the port can be on the front, or would you rather it be Qi charging?
Qi.
Yeah. Okay, we're on the same boat then. We don't disagree.
Because give me a pad that I can and same thing with the keyboard. Give me a pad that I could just set it down and charge. Because the one thing I hate about every you know, month and a half or so is that time where I just have to plug it in and then I sit there and I feel like I did not plan this accordingly because I forgot to charge it before. So I'm just sitting there like, what am I supposed to do
like,
for the next 30, 40 minutes?
You should use your Magic Trackpad, which has the Lightning port perfectly oriented so you can charge it and use
no,
it.
No, I hate trackpad.
The trackpad requires too much on the pointers.
I need from the trackpad.
I love gestures.
The
I love
trackpad,
using four or five or three fingers. Like it's just my favorite.
I'm doing it right now.
I'm
moving my Logic Studio. Like,
the months that
like,
I didn't have a
the
Mac.
The trackpad gives me everything I need on the mouse.
I did forget how much I do love the trackpad. And being back on the Mac more regularly, I'm like, I do love this trackpad. It's like the iPad, but for a little bit more professional.
Okay, we got you. We got them hooked. Apple Card is next.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
All right, see you in the next one.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Bye.